Well, sweet. And then thanks for hopping on. I met Truck on Instagram, and Truck is one of the winners, right, of the Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate Fighter season 19 seems like so long ago, man. Holy smokes.
Season
That thing is
19.
still going and kicking. They are, I think, what, they're on what, 30 now? Top 30?
Yeah, and the Ultimate Fighter, for anyone that doesn't know, the UFC is basically when what amateurs go and compete for a contract, right?
Yeah, well, pro fighters go and compete for UFC contract. So usually you're on the local scene and you go, you compete, you fight. It's like almost it's like the farm league, man, for the UFC.
Got
But
it.
it's just a reality TV show mixed with that.
What was that like being on reality TV?
Not as glamorous as everybody thinks, but definitely an interesting experience. It changed my life, so I got nothing but good about it. You know, it's a human science project. You put, what was it, 1, 2, 3, 14 men who fight each other in a house with alcohol, testosterone, no communication with the outside world, for 7 weeks. And then you throw into the mix that you got to fight each other, and you don't know who you have to fight, when you have to fight them.
But
So
they allow drinking, like these fighters were drinking, really?
they encourage drinking. It's crazy. Like, obviously, so if you win, you're in. But once you lose, you're out. So guys are getting hammered, you know, after they win. You got some guys that could drink and fight. And then, like, it's just a crazy atmosphere. And you don't know if you're gonna get back into the tournament. So it's just crazy, man. They got it down to a science. They figured it out. It's obviously working. It saved the UFC, the first one, because UFC is on the verge of bankruptcy. And you know, Forrest Griffin and oh my God, Stephen Bonner had a fight for the ages, and it brought a bunch of mainstream media, you know, to the forefront for the UFC, and literally saved the company. So without that show, we probably would have never heard about the UFC. They were like 40 million in debt. Like, they were literally on the way out.
Have you ever
Now,
had a
really,
situation where you were in debt or had your back against the wall
oh
when you
man,
wanted to
I've
fight?
been broke as a joke. I've had it all, man. I've been ups, downs, left, rights. You know, like, it taught me a lot. Like, money's not everything. Like, you know, when you're young, when I was young, I thought money was like the end all be all. But you know, I learned that sometimes when you have the most money in the world, you're like the least happiest. Sometimes when you're broke as a joke, you can be the happiest. So I found like the happy medium. Like, don't get too high with the highs, don't get too low with the lows. And I look at money as like a resource or a tool to, you know, now instead of the end all be all.
Yeah, five kids probably, five boys probably eat a lot.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So I definitely need money to feed them. So, you know, I definitely, that without money, we wouldn't go too far in this house.
For sure. And
But
being on the Ultimate Fighter, and Andrew, I'll shut up so you can ask your next question. Being on the Ultimate Fighter, like, were you partying during that time? Are people still like partying before their fights? Like, do you have to be drunk to be a UFC fighter? Like, do you have to be that crazy?
no, listen, I don't, I'm not a big drinker. So like with a big opportunity like that, I wouldn't be drinking during the show. But you'd be surprised, man. Some people drink up until the week of the fight. I have to lose a lot of weight. So when I was cutting weight, like when you drink alcohol, it's added calories. So it was a no-go for me. But you'd be surprised. A lot of guys when they're on the show, they fight up in a weight class, so they don't have to worry about the weight cut. So that's a brutal part. Like, for instance, when I won the show, I had three fights in like 2 weeks. So I had to make weight three different times in a 2 week period. So it was no alcohol for me.
So you beat all four. You came. You were number one out of the 14, and you didn't drink.
Correct. Yeah, no drinking for me. So
How many were drinking? How many of those 14 were drinking, do you know?
After they lost, everybody pretty much, you know, anybody that lost definitely drank, because it was like, what else are you gonna do? You're stuck, you know, in a house full of guys with nothing going on besides, you know,
Well, if they lose, I've never seen this show. So if they lose, they don't send them home.
No, if you lose, you stay in. Like, you lose, you're in the house because you need trading partners, right? So you're stuck. You're there for 7 weeks, win, lose, or draw. So it's crazy. It's crazy. So it gets wild. Now, if you're the first guy that fights and you lose, like, week one, you're out. So, like, it's crazy. Now you're, like, hoping that somebody gets hurt. You're hoping for, like, the all types of crazy things to get back in the tournament. So it's not a good spot, man.
Where did you start fighting? Like, what was, like, your introductory to martial arts or boxing? I mean, UFC is a plethora of different styles.
Yes, so my story is a little bit different. Like, I was in corporate America. I worked at J.P. Morgan for 5+ years. I was in finance. I got tired, burnt out, like most people do, right, when you talk about finance. So I went to a UFC fight, UFC 101, Anderson Silva versus Forrest Griffin. And I was sat ringside, and I was watching these guys fight, and I was like, yo, I could do this shit. My friends thought I was crazy. They was like, dude, that's the Red Bull and vodka talking, because I was definitely drinking at that point. And I was, like, fat, like, really fat. I was, like, 325 pounds, like, overweight, out of shape, like, crazy. But I was just, like, looking like, dude, I could do this. And my mentor, the owner of my company, was like, dude, if you're serious, like, I'll sponsor you. And I freaking, from that day on, like, I went to the gym. I met my high school teammate who I wrestled with and against, Chris Weidman. He took me under his wing. At that point, he wasn't even like Chris Weidman. Like, he was just a Ring of Combat fighter. He didn't have the Ring of Combat championship. And he took me under his wing, man, and the rest is history from that. Like, I was able to stay with the same team, get Matt Serra, Chris Weidman, Ray Longo, you know, pretty much trained me. And I was, you know, I had a great team.
It sounds like you started in wrestling, like in high school.
Yeah, that was my first experience of mixed martial arts. I wrestled in high school. I played football in high school, but like wrestling was my form of mixed martial arts. That was like my introduction to it. I had zero experience of anything else. So literally, I've never did jiu-jitsu. I never did boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai. Any of that stuff. When I first started fighting, I was literally brand new to it. So didn't really have any background in it. I was like, shit, I could do this. I could compete.
And this is when you said you were out of shape, you're drinking, you're like in corporate America, you're like, I'm gonna change everything.
Yeah, man, like I was losing my mind. Like, I was getting up in a shirt and tie every day. It just wasn't, I was successful, quote unquote, to everybody else on the outside looking in, but I had a desire to compete. Like, I thought that I would be in the NFL playing football, you know. It didn't work out for me. So I was just, like, lacking in that area. Like, I was just, like, I was miserable. To flat out just miserable. I wasn't happy. Hence why I gained this crazy amount of weight. I was just literally going out, eating, drinking all the time, taking clients out. So it was just, like, it wasn't the life that I wanted to live.
Was it difficult for you to leave?
Where did Truck come from? Where did this come from, the name?
Good question. Like, Truck came with me forever, man. Like, Truck, I got that nickname when I was probably, like, 120 pounds, soaking wet. I played football with my older brother, and I used to run guys over. And he was like, yo, you're running like a truck. So it wasn't some sexy nickname. I kind of grew into it, and it stuck with me, like, ever since.
Got it.
I think, Josh, I think you asked, like, was it hard to leave? It was, man.
Like walk us through that decision, because a lot of people are unhappy in corporate America, but they still keep going. They still keep putting on that shirt and tie and, like, well, I guess this is all I can do. And you went from J.P. Morgan Chase to body slamming people in an octagon.
I was a risk taker, man. Like, I don't recommend it to everybody, but I was young at the time. I had two kids, though. I got married at 22. And I started fighting at 27. So at that point, I kind of was already established. I had a house. I had a mortgage. But I was just literally miserable. So I felt like there was nothing else left for me to do. Like, I was working in this job. I was miserable every single day, getting up, doing something I didn't like. And I was living for everybody else because my parents thought I was successful. My mom was happy. You know, my wife was happy. But I was miserable. So it's like the ultimate decision. Do I just keep living a life where I'm unhappy? Doesn't matter how much quote unquote success I have, if I myself can't enjoy it. And I was, my health was declining. Like, I was literally getting bigger, fatter, and more out of shape by the second. And I was just like, I deserve better life. I deserve more. And I didn't know what that more was. I went on vacation. Like, when I went to the UFC 101, I didn't think I was going for a job interview or something, like, you know, to look at a new position. But I was just like, holy shit, these guys get paid to do this. And at that point, it wasn't that much money. It wasn't like you were going to be rich. And I was like, that's better than going to the office. And people thought I was crazy, and I just gave it a shot, fell in love with it. And I love to compete. I love to compete. So I was like, that's the ultimate form of competition. It's like human chess. You're going against another man. So I loved it, man. My allergies are killing me right now. I'm sorry. I'm like stuffed up. I'm all jacked up right now.
How much were you making at your corporate job?
I was making six figures. I was making like 175 probably. Like 175 when I probably stopped. So, 20. Yeah, my 20s. Like, I was doing well. And my wife had a job. When I was walking away, like, everybody thought I was crazy. Yeah. But I just, I was miserable.
Were you in New York?
I was in New York, yeah.
Okay, in the city. Gotcha. So then what did you make your first year fighting it out?
Absurd. My first year fighting was, like, nothing. Like, it was crazy. And, like, when I started fighting, I probably made net probably like 40, 50 grand, but I was like also trading. I was like trading stocks and shit on the side. I was like playing poker. I was doing cards. I was selling t-shirts. I was doing all types of shit. Like, it was crazy. I'm happy.
Are you still tracking the stock market?
I watch it, man. I got money invested. It's crazy. It's like, it's up, down, left, right. It's all over the place. Like, when COVID first took place, man, I did well. I bought a bunch of shit, and I see like 100% returns during that. So it's just, you know, you just gotta be in it for the long haul.
I thought that was interesting what you said, though, Truck. How you went from football, wrestling to UFC. So would you say there's a lot of athletes out there who may not make it to the NFL that may be able to excel in another sport that they may not see?
There's no doubt about it, man. Like most of these guys, right? The bigger, stronger, athletic guys, they're playing basketball, they're playing football. But there's so many guys that don't make the cut. An NFL team is like what, 55-man roster? You look at how many guys play Division I college football, Division II, Division III. There's a ton of football players, let alone basketball players, wrestlers. And wrestling's like the gateway, right? Like, only one person goes to the Olympic team. You got guys that are outstanding wrestlers that there's no future. Like, you could be the number two best guy in the world. If you live in the same country as the number one guy, you don't even get to place in the Olympics. You don't even get to go. So you can literally be the second best guy in the world. You can't make it third, fourth, fifth, because the best guy is in your weight class in your country. And you can't even go to it. So it's like mixed martial arts is almost like the gateway for wrestlers. But if you're tough, man, you got a strong mindset, you can go far into sport. Like, I beat a bunch of guys that I wasn't more skilled than. I was just like, I got to find a way to solve the puzzle. I got to figure out a way to just push until, like, they break, you know? So it's a mental thing, man. I think fighting is probably 80% more mental versus physical. Like, you look at these older fighters that are still beating these young guys, you know, that's why I think drugs and performance enhancers, it's the worst, because you get a guy that has the experience and now he gets to found the youth. That's a cheat code. You know, imagine if we do what we do now as kids, like, it wouldn't be fair.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking during these fights at all? Like, what are you thinking at all? Or is it just all instinctual? Like, what goes through the mind when you're like in a ring with someone that you're looking to, like, I wouldn't say kill, but beat in a match?
It's weird, man. It's you drill and practice and train over and over and over again. So you kind of create habits so that when you get into the fight, you're more reacting and working off an instinct. Because the last thing you kind of want to do is think. If you're thinking and you got to go through the whole thought process, it slows down everything. That's why the more experience you have, the more fights you have, you've been there. You've been in that situation, so you don't have to think as much more as like than react. If you're thinking, you're going to be like a half a step. And, you know, it's not a – you don't play fighting, you know. It's not, you play baseball, you play football, but you don't play fighting. So it's like you can't hesitate. Like it could cost you a lot.
So basically, it sounds like, you know, they might have been younger, stronger, quicker, but you were just smarter. You outsmarted them.
Yeah, I was a worker, man. I've always been a worker. I literally outworked them. You know, like I was a grinder. Like I would just grind away to win. Like I just find a way. Doesn't matter. Like, you know, doesn't matter what happened round one, round two. By the time the bell rang, I'll try to always, you know, get my hand raised by any means necessary. So it's a crazy sport. I think that the athletes now though are progressing. They're becoming. You look at some of these young kids. They're just savages because now they're training for mixed martial arts. Back in the day, it was like you come from a certain sector, and then you go and you fight. You got a lot of guys that were just straight jiu-jitsu that became fighters. You got guys that were straight boxers that became fighters. You had straight wrestlers that became fighters. Now kids, they're training for mixed martial arts. So they're going into day one, learning stand up to the ground, to wrestling, to back on their feet, all in one transition. So these guys are so much better. Like the average guy in the next 5, 10, 15 years would be like a George St. Pierre. Like as you see the evolution of the sport, the older fighters are not as athletic, they're not as strong, they're not as fast as the newer age fighters. And it's this evolution. You look at football, right? Back in the day, the linemen were the size of receivers. Now you got 300-pound guys running 4.5, 4.6. It's like it's crazy. And I feel like that's the stage that mixed martial arts are right now. You're going to see the younger kids that are training from high school to become fighters. Like it's now a known avenue. Like you could wrestle, you could box, you could do this, you could do that. But now there's a place for you.
So you think like schools are start giving scholarships for ultimate fighting, like they are like esports now, right? Is that going to be like a big thing?
I just, you know what, it could, but I just feel like too much legal stuff. I don't think they'll have like mixed martial arts in the Olympics. I don't think they'll have it for college. I think right now, like, wrestling is the combat sports of choice. So it's like if you know you want to fight and you want to go to college, you go be a wrestler, you know? And you got some guys that are just not even going to school. They're graduating high school and they're going straight to the gym. They're training from a young age saying, this is my path. So it's not like football where you go, there's, you know, a draft for mixed martial arts yet, at least. You literally just, anybody can turn pro. Like if Josh decides that he wants to be a pro fighter, he can go fill out his friggin' medical. He can go fill out with the athletic commission and he can take a pro fight. Will the commission sanction him to fight some guy that had 10 fights? No. They have to be, you know, they'll match you up with somebody that quote unquote got similar experience as you, but anybody can fight. And that's why I think you get the argument about money, right? Like everybody's saying Dana White and UFC doesn't pay fighters. The problem is there's no union. And if you tell some random person that, oh, hey, you can fight for $50,000, most people jump at that, right? Versus some guy saying, I'm not fighting for less than $5 million or $50 million. So when it comes to fighting, there's going to always be somebody that's willing to take less money to fight. And as human beings, we like seeing car crashes. We like seeing fights. Like, no matter what, there could be a pro basketball game going on. If there's a fight breaks out in the stands, everybody's watching that fight. It's just human nature. Mm-hmm.
So what are you working on now, Trek?
I got a gym that I own, so I got a couple different businesses. I own a gym. I have an event space location as well where people can host parties. You know, I do a bunch of social media stuff. I coach at my local high school. So I'd say I stay busy. And, you know, before COVID, I used to do a lot of motivational speaking stuff. You know, that avenue kind of changed a lot. It's starting to slowly open back up, which is cool. You know, I'm not big on – there's some coaches that does speeches and stuff and training programs online. That's not my thing. I'm not knocking it. If guys want to do it, they're great. Like, I get a bunch of people always contacting me to do stuff like that. But I feel like if I'm not – with somebody like physically, like I don't know, it's just weird.
Where are you at now? Are you in New York? Are you still in New York?
Yeah, I'm located in New York. Yeah, Long Island, New York.
Strong Island.
Yes, indeed. You from there? You've been here before?
I was in Long Island not too long ago. Yeah.
Nice.
Who was your favorite fight? What I mean, like, when in your career, what was your favorite?
Oh, man, I probably gotta go with my biggest win was probably, you know, the Diego Lima fight, the Ultimate Fighter finale, you know, Mandalay Bay in front of thousands and thousands of people, you know, winning the Ultimate Fighter Championship. That was what, you know, I say my biggest moment, but to be honest, nothing beats like my first fight. Like my amateur fight, I fought at the Raritan Center in some place in New Jersey in a warehouse, and like nothing could get that, nothing could like simulate that feeling. Like it was just crazy. I thought, you know, playing Division I football, I'm like, listen, I played in front of a bunch of people before. Like, this is the bigger stage. But that first fight ever, even though it was an amateur fight, was just crazy. Like, that was, like, my most memorable. Like, it was vivid. Like, I feel like I remember the moment. I remember the butterflies. I remember the energy. I remember everything. It was crazy. When I fought the Ultimate Fighter, it was, like, calm. Like, the finale, I wasn't nervous. It was the craziest thing ever. It was weird. Like, I was more nervous my first fight in front of like 400 people than I was that fight.
0-1 is the hardest.
Yeah, exactly. You said what?
0-1 is always the hardest. It's always the most memorable.
I like that. That's actually that's really good. I like that a lot. That's
you a good can do thing. 1, you can do 100, you can do 300, right?
0 That's to true. 1.
Like selling something. You got to get 0-1 is always the hardest one.
Very. That's very, very. That's a valid point. I love that.
Use that in your motivation.
That's it. I'll quote you on it. I'll definitely give Andrew credit for it.
I heard it somewhere, and I was like, man, that's true. That's so true. Because if you can get from 0-1, you're good. You can do it again. You can do it a second time. And you kind of verified that. You were like that first fight. And I remember one of my first sales. I'm like, oh my god, that's when I broke in. You know, and I just let open up the floodgates. So you kind of verify.
I love that. I love it.
Real, real emotional connection.
Very, very true.
So being a fighter and a dad, like, how do you tell your kids like not to beat people up?
It's funny, man. Like, my older kids, like, grew up in the gym, right? So they were at the gym with me all the time. Like, they took classes with me. Like, they did a bunch of stuff. My five-year-old, he was there for a bunch. So I think the hardest ones are going to be, like, my youngest, because he had zero, like, fighting life, like, being around. I think when you fight, when you train, you're less aggressive. It's like, you know you can probably beat somebody up, so, like, you don't have the ego. You don't have that desire to show somebody up. It's like, so like, I don't know. I feel like any kid that does martial arts, it comes with a discipline factor of it too. So I feel like that's a bonus.
It comes with a what?
Like a discipline factor. Like you're taught like, you know, not to use what you learned outside. You're taught to be respectful. You're taught, you know, this is for competition purposes only. So like, realistically, like, I don't get into bar fights. I don't know. I don't have a big ego, man. Like, somebody tell me they're going to beat me up. I'm like, okay, cool. You're a tough guy. You win. Like, I don't know. That's just – it's all good.
Like, if someone did attack you on the streets, though, like, would you just – how would you handle that?
I'll definitely defend myself. There's no doubt about it. Like, I'll definitely defend myself, but I will react with the same amount of threat that I'm getting. You know, like, somebody comes to me with a freaking gun or a knife, like, I'm going to react with deadly force as well. But somebody's drunk and they're throwing some sloppy-ass punches. Like, you know, I could detain them, you know, with wrestling and jiu-jitsu where I don't have to punch them and beat them up. Like, I could get them under – I could get them under control with, you know, minimum effort. But if somebody's coming at you with a freaking gun or a knife, like, now your life's on the line. Now it's fight or flight.
The drumstick has to come into play.
Wow, dude, like that, yeah. It's like, at that point, it's survival, right? Like, you know, fight or flight, like, like, especially like when it's my kids, somebody's attacking my kids or put my family at harm. Yeah, all bets are off.
Sweet. Andrew, got anything else you want to ask Trek before we let him pop another some allergy medicine or something?
Dude, I am like, yo, literally, I am like dying right now.
Yeah, I see your eyes are watering, so we'll wrap things up here.
Oh man, Shrug. How long was your career? I did not look up.
Yeah, so I started at 27, so okay, 11 right. years counting. I still contemplate fighting, man. Like, I didn't fully completely like retire yet. You know, obviously every day that passes by, it's like I don't want to get punched in the face no more ever again. But you know, there's opportunities. Like, you know, I see the boxing stuff, man. You see all these bare knuckle boxing. You see all these celebrity fights and stuff like that. Like, I got offered a fight January 6th that just passed. We couldn't come to agreement on the money terms. Cause I'm not fighting for free, man. At this point, like, I've done it. I fought at the highest level there is. I fought some of the best guys in the world. Like, I'm not going to go out there and just fight for free. It's got to make financial sense.
Like, give the audience some insight. What do these guys, you know, what do they offer for the fight?
It varies, man. Like, it'll go from as little as, you know, $20,000 to as high as, you know, millions of dollars. Like, I ain't getting $1 million fight offers, you know, as of yet. You know, realistic, you know, those are the Conor McGregor numbers, you know. I'm a realist, you know, but like for me to take a fight, like, I can't imagine training for 6 to 8 weeks, you know, sacrificing, you know, family time, you know, for anything less than, you know, six figures, man, you know, because you got to realize how much, you know, these promoters are making off you. You know, if some young kid comes in and he kicks the Ultimate Fighter season 19 UFC fighter's ass, now he just took all my quote unquote clout. He took whatever, and it's like, for what, you know? And it just helps promote that kid. So now that kid's just like a launching pad. And you see it a lot. You see a lot of, like, legends. You know, the promoter will set them up with a young, up-and-coming killer to kind of, you know, transition their fans to their fan to the young kids' fans. So it's like, I respect it. It's part of the game. It's part of the sport. You know, I'm not going to ever take a fight that I feel like I can't win. You know, I think that's like my ego, my confidence as well.
What if you didn't have to train at all and it was just against Josh and then it was going to be fixed?
Say, yeah, I don't think my ego will let me do a fixed fight, man. Like, I don't know. Like,
that occur in the industry? Are there, I mean, obviously in boxing, you always hear about that, the stories. Is that happening in UFC, do you think?
I think it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely a possibility. Who knows? Like,
you don't want to say any.
I don't know of any personally. I just feel like it's just different. Like, with UFC, with mixed martial arts, it's so different. Like, you fight. If you win, you get a bigger paycheck. If you win, you get more money. You get more fame. So the incentive to lose is just doesn't make sense. It's like, even if somebody gives you, I don't know, 100 grand, like, the incentive to win is so much more. Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
If you could fight somebody, who would you fight still?
Oh, no doubt about it. It used to be Conor McGregor, but right now I would say Logan Paul. Logan Paul or Jake Paul. Any day of the week.
Would you take both of them at the same time?
Oh, I'm not that crazy. Listen, most fighters.
Are they legit? Or are
they, what about me, like, and you, Truck? Me and you, Truck, versus the Paul brothers. Like, just, you know, I can distract them.
We can work something out. We can come up with a strategy, but you got to give those guys credit. Like, they were high level wrestlers, so they are athletic. They got the money to get the best training in the world, and they got the time. And if you look at Jake in the beginning to Jake now,
Jake Paul,
right? I mean, that's the
reason. Totally say, I don't know. So I didn't see the dude stick himself with a needle, so I'm not going to sit there and say he's on whatever. He's got the finances to do it. He's got the support to do it. Who knows? But you can't deny his skill. He got a lot better. From his first fight when he fought the other YouTuber to when he just fought Tyron Woodley, he's gotten so much better. And you got to give a guy respect. Anybody that walks into a cage, whether you have one fight or 100 fight or a ring, you get my utmost respect, because most people would never do it. They'll talk the talk, but they'll never walk through that cage. They will never go and fight somebody that they know has been training for 2-3 months to go knock their head off. If you think about when we were a kid and you got to fight after school and somebody's got bullies that are going to beat you up, most kids can't even get to after school, let alone thinking 3 months down the road, you got to fight. Hair, time, weight, step on the scale. So I got respect for all those guys. I would just like to fight them now because I'm not getting any younger, and they're training every single day. That's a fight I would love because I think I'll make a lot of money, and I think that's a fight that I could win quite easily, especially boxing.
Let's set it up, Andrew. Let's set it up. Let's bring it in. Let's get them on the phone. Let's make the moves.
Back pocket. What's our broker fee on that?
Oh, dude, I'll shoot you 15%. No doubt about it.
Well, all right. We'll keep it in our back pocket. What, like, would you box them? Can you handle boxing against them?
No doubt about it. I would love to do a boxing match. That would be – mixed martial arts would be fair. I think it would, those guys wouldn't survive in a mixed martial arts fight just because I think the jiu-jitsu part is just too much because they're good wrestlers, but if they don't have any ground game, doesn't matter how good of a wrestler they are. They'll get submitted or just be in trouble. Plus the punches, the kicks. It's a different animal. Boxing would level the playing field. And like, I would love it.
So did you have interaction that you had, I'm assuming you did, with Dana White?
I love Dana White. Dana White is the man. Like, Dana White is as real as it gets. Like, some people can't handle that. Like, I love the fact that what you see is what you get with Dana. Like, I always had great conversations with Dana. I could always reach out to Dana and, like, he was like, you know, communicating with me, like, and it's him. Like, he's just a real dude. Like, what you see is what you get. Some people can't handle that, you know? People can't understand business. Is there things about the UFC that I don't like? Yes. Do I understand why they do it? Yes, because I own a business. Like, you're going to operate your business and try to minimize the costs and expense as much as possible, maximize the profits as much as possible. That's business 101.
Trek, I got a question that is more of like an Andrew question, but I'm reading Andrew's mind now. So I'm going to see what Andrew's thinking. Would you ever get back into the finance game and like be like in the finance game for fighters?
I thought about that, man. I thought about that so much. You know, I had my Series 7 license. I had my Series 63. But I feel like, I don't know. It'll more have to be like on a consultant basis because I'm like, you know, I wouldn't want to start trading their money and doing all this stuff because – you know, when it comes to finances, nobody's ever happy, right? That's kind of why I got out of it because I would make my clients 10% gain on their money. They'll be pissed off because their friend got 15%, but they wouldn't be willing to take the risk. Then if you lose somebody's money, you lost their money, so they're gonna be pissed off regardless. So I felt like it was not that many people are always happy. And at that point I was a people pleaser, you know, so I was like, I always wanted my clients to be happy. I always wanted my clients to be happy. And my mentor was like, dude, if you gave somebody 8% or better, they're not happy, they tell them to go somewhere else. And like flat out, like, and I was always just always wanting them to just be happy and happy. So like, I don't know, like I could guide them, give them suggestions.
Tell me where you want. I'm gonna send you a 369 hat. We wanna get in the UFC game.
All right.
Because one thing with, I'm sure, up-and-coming fighters, it's not the money that you're going to make them when they make the money. It's educating them so that they don't lose the money when they make it.
That's the best part. I've made so much less money than some of these big, huge fighters, and they have nothing to show for it. Like, it's crazy to me. Like,
well, because you were educated. That was your background. So you already had the knowledge of, like, hey, like, you know, I got to save this money because – who knows when my next fight? And now you're not taking $20,000 fights. Like, yeah, that ain't good time now.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's crazy to me. Like, it
doesn't dream and spend, right?
Say it again.
People just want to live the dream and spend, get the cars, get the planes.
Dude, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, and I know a bunch of NFL guys, a bunch of basketball guys, and to see how much these athletes that go broke, it's scary. And the amount of money they made, it's like, they think I'll buy a $5, $10, $15 million house and I'll buy it cash and they forget that you got to pay taxes. You got to fucking maintain this house.
You got to furnish that bitch.
Yeah.
That's like how much is it to furnish a $15 million house?
Oh, It's crazy. It's
like Gronkowski.
But then again,
in Gronkowski, you know what he did? He did not spend a cent of his salary, only his endorsement money, I believe.
Yeah.
And he would just take a salary, put it away. Take a salary, put it away. 100%.
He's smart, man. He did it right. Unfortunately, a lot of guys don't, which is scary. And you would think by this day and age, they'll figure it out. And and we wouldn't have that problem. But nope, the numbers are still the exact same. The numbers are like so eerie similar. It's crazy. Because
let's solve that problem, man. Let's solve this problem,
dude.
It starts earlier than that, right? Because they grow up and they're you know, a lot of people are financially illiterate, is what it comes down to. You're doing like school systems and financial literacy, and do they even care?
Yo, you hit it on the head. And Josh might remember me saying this. Like, I started like a program where I want to get kids, you know, physically educated, mentally educated, as well as financial literacy. And it's almost like a boys and girls club, but like teaching them the three aspects of it, you know, get you trained up physically for it, get you mentally right for it, and then give you like the invitation of like what you can do when you actually get it. Because it's not about getting it at this point, man. It's about keeping it. Like, I don't know, like life insurance, like it's not about freaking how much money you have at this point. It's about, is your money going to last? Because we're living longer.
Or it's not how much you make, it's how much you save. But yeah, Truck Gordon's Financial Fitness.
All right, listen, I like that. Sounds good, man. We might have to do something.
Sponsored by 369, baby.
Yeah.
Financial Fitness.
I like it. It sounds good.
So, well, Truck, thanks for hopping on. Never Broke Again. Go do what you gotta do. Get those sinuses cleared up. Get a vapor rub, whatever you gotta do, and have fun with the kids today.
Yo, much love, man. You guys rock. Andrew, Josh, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, Truck.